You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that wonders how much could a podcast really cost, like $30? I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We are back for another wonderful episode of the show this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
We have our...
Check it out! Oh.
You gotta wait.
Yeah.
You gotta wait for the sting, Cody.
Well,
you
gotta
wait. I was
gonna say, we have our resident former professional anime specialist with us this week.
Yes, yes.
I like to consider myself vintage anime connoisseur.
Well, before we get into all that vintage anime, I have my check-ems real quick. I watched two movies this week.
Wow.
I did some things. Believe it or not, I did some things. So, I've been teasing it for weeks now.
Oh, here it comes.
Oh no, it's happening.
It's happening, you
Why
guys.
Why didn't we put a drum roll on the soundboard?
Oh, did we?
You have too many. The world's tiniest drum roll.
Close enough. Everybody, I watched Money Plane. It wasn't very good.
I am shocked.
It was not very good. It was almost a complete letdown. Okay, so the premise, like I mentioned before, it was this former gambler and jewel thief and his crew have to get on board a flying casino, but not really a flying casino, more like a flying everybody bets on money for just whatever plane to steal all of its Bitcoin for evil mobster Kelsey Grammer.
Wait. Bitcoin?
The majority of the funds were in Bitcoin.
So this movie was written quite a few years ago.
It was written in 2018.
Okay, never mind.
No, it was just very bad. So, and they bet on things like gambling and Russian roulette.
Okay, yeah.
And a guy fighting an alligator.
It sounds like a bored rich people clubhouse in the
it
sky.
It is, but everybody's a crime person, a crimesman.
You know, if you're going to bet on something, Russian roulette, I mean, if you lose your bet, not really
yeah,
out
right,
much, are you?
Not really out a whole lot. That's very true.
Money-wise, anyway.
Yeah. So, this movie starred The Edge from WWE, whose name I should have looked up and refused to commit to memory.
He's not just, the one from YouTube.
Yeah,
no,
he's just
not the
edge.
One from. No, he. I tell you, he looks like the drummer for the Foo Fighters if he was roided out.
He looks like a roided out Dave Grohl.
No, Dave Grohl's a guitarist.
I know.
What's wrong with you?
He does play the drums.
How dare!
Occasionally,
yeah,
on
I
Foo
guess
Fighters.
That's true. I mean, I guess that first album, he did play all of the instruments.
I've seen him play the drums in at a Foo Fighters concert,
and I'm infinitely jealous of that fact. But so you would think, okay, you have big action star man.
I guess
from
I WWE. Didn't mean to humble brag that I've seen the Foo Fighters.
No, but that's awesome. I mean, it's cool. I got a picture with Weird Al Yankovic, so
you got me there.
Hey, I got you there. No, you would think that you have a big time action man and is in a low budget action movie, there would be, you know, action. 90% of it is them sitting in seats and talking to computer screens.
What?
There is little to no action. Now, when there is action, it's pretty great. One of the main guys, like crew, is this lady that's a super badass fighter. She does rip a man's ears off.
Nice.
And throws them to the ground and they bounce like rubber because they were fake rubber ears.
Like both his ears?
Both his ears at the same time.
Huh.
Just rip and then bounce and they just kind of bounce around.
I guess let the Wookiee win?
Okay, so a couple things about this movie I discovered, because the plot doesn't matter. The movie, it has Kelsey Grammer, who is terrible.
And it, just a kind of a terrible
he's
person.
He's kind of a terrible person to begin with. But also, he acts very bad. He's trying to be big macho. I am the cool mobster mafioso man. There was exactly one scene where he sounds and acts like Frasier. At one point, he is talking to main action man on a computer screen, because of course he is. And he has some guy tied up off screen next to him with one of his mobster buddies, like pointing a gun at him. And the guy that's tied up is like, going, I'm tied up, whatever. And Kelsey Grammer says, just could you make that guy shut up? So the guy shoots him dead. And as soon as he gets off the call with the Edge, he goes, I told you to make him quiet, not shoot him. I'm getting blood all over my terracotta. And it sounded like, very clearly, they wrote that line as like, okay, this is a Frasier line. And then, good Lord, Niles.
And then Eddie runs in and drags the body out of frame.
What's going on with my dog? Gotta get the dog out of my chair. I don't remember a lot of Frasier, but I remember Eddie the dog sitting in his grumpy dad's chair.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny. Like, I've watched Frasier a couple of times over the years, and like how their dad, who's this gruff cop or retired cop,
yeah,
who loves football and just drinking beer and chilling in his chair, has these two sons that seem like British aristocrats.
Yeah, how did that happen? I'm sure they probably.
I think it was like their mom.
Their mom was super snooty or something. Yeah, super high class or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. This movie would have done better if it was David Hyde Pierce instead of Kelsey Grammer, if you ask me. This movie also was a backdoor brotherly love, the sitcom crossover or reunion, because it had all three of the Lawrence brothers, okay. Joey, Matthew, and also the smallest child one, and Andrew?
Sure.
I think his name was Andrew. Well,
Albert?
It's interesting that he is in this because he doesn't act in anything. Lawrence. Because he was also the Lawrence. Writer and director.
Lawrence.
I love it. But no, the youngest one, he was the writer and director of this film.
Yikes.
Yeah, so they made him the plucky comedy sidekick.
I was going to say, one of them probably had something to do with the creation of this film.
Yes. And Joey Lawrence was the worst one. And Matthew Lawrence, the middle brother of Boy Meets World and also Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad fame, he was the best character in the movie because he was basically, he was like this rootin'est tootin'est cowboy with a handlebar mustache. Yeehaw, we're gonna gamble some money.
He was a Winona Earp extra.
He was for the 5 minutes he was in the movie until he shot himself in gambling Russian roulette. Also, all the blood was CG, so it looked really bad.
Oh, no.
It was, like, extra shiny and gloopy and bad.
That's never good.
I hate
good.
It when they do that in movies.
CGI blood is the worst. So, I feel bad for hyping this movie. It did not live up to expectations.
You knew it was going to be bad.
I knew it was going to be bad, but I thought it was going to be enjoyably bad. Denise Richards is third billed in the movie, and she has one line and 3 minutes of screen time.
Yikes.
At the beginning, a minute and a half at the beginning, and a minute and a half at the end, as the Edge's wife, who has no idea any of this is going on. Oh, Thomas Jane is in this. The former Punisher, Thomas Jane. But he is so drunk and maybe coked out of his mind. Like, he has, like, coke bloat. And he is
not like movie drunk, like actually drunk on work.
He is, yeah, he is like unrecognizable in this film. And he has a pretty major part in the movie, but he is unrecognizable. It's bad.
Yikes.
It's bad.
If you're missing going to the movies, just watch this movie and then you won't miss movies anymore.
You won't miss movies. Yeah.
You won't want to watch another movie for the rest of your life.
The other movie I checked out, this is one that it started as a joke between Jordan and I.
Uh-oh.
So Jordan loves dumb romantic, cheapo Hallmark Channel romantic comedies and Christmas movies.
Which are basically the same thing.
Kind of the same thing. So I regularly go online and try to find the dumbest titled ones to say, hey, do you want to try to find this one? And lo and behold, I found one that you could actually watch readily available. It was called Rodeo and Juliet.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. It, here's the thing. It was so nonsensical that it looped back around to being enjoyable.
I wish it was the love story of two star-crossed rodeo clowns, but I bet it's not.
It's not. It's not. It might be the love story between a woman and her horse, and also her mom and a cowboy that she almost married 20 years prior. It was a weird...
Okay.
And like the mother character who... It's weird because the movie doesn't have... Usually these kind of movies are pretty cookie cutter. You have one central character that is like, I'm an uptight business lady from the city who has to go to the countryside and I have to take care of my dad's house to put it on market. Or maybe this small town is going under and I'm here to make sure that the new mall gets built or something like that.
Save the bakery.
Yeah, well, no, they're to shut down the bakery because they want to bring in the Dunkin' Donuts or whatever. And while they're there, they meet the country boy who has the heart of, who they don't get along at first, but then they have the heart of gold and they fall in love by the end. And by God, we're going to run this bakery by the end of the movie. This movie has it with both the mother and the daughter. And you think for a while that the daughter's going to be the... Who looks 30, by the way. The daughter is supposed to be on Christmas break from high school. Looks 30. The mom also looks 30. So it's kind of... It's weird. You think, though, the daughter's going to be the main...
She's my maternal sister.
But yeah, it's like they try to... You think that it's going to set the daughter up as the romantic lead or whatever... But it's really not. It's really the mom who comes back to town to sell her dad's farm. And sell her dad. She's in town to sell her dad and also all of her dad's horses. And there's a cowboy that has been squatting on her dad's farm.
No, just leave it as her dad.
Has been squatting on her dad. That has decided that, no, I'm not going to sell this woman's dad. I live here.
We've made this even more confusing.
It's great. It's great. And the girl, there is a character named Juliet.
Of course.
It's the horse.
It's the horse.
Of course.
Yeah, it was something else. And it was so nonsensical. And like every scene that the mother and the daughter are in, the mother is constantly yelling at the daughter for no reason.
It's like Lady Bird.
it was nonsensical to the point of looping back around and being
enjoyable.
And you would think that, like, okay, romantic movie, the couple's gonna come back, people are gonna come back to the country town, and like the cowboy's gonna be like all handsome and rugged, and no, he looks like, what's his name, Achy Breaky Heart.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
He looks like Billy Ray Cyrus today.
Not 20 years ago.
Oh, he has like pot belly and mullet. And this is supposed to be the romantic lead of the movie. This mulleted chubster that is going, I will not move off your father. I love these horses.
You think you're getting Luke Bryan, but you're getting like legitimate, like, trailer.
I think we should write a romantic comedy.
Okay. Yeah, I think we should. Nerd Overload presents Christmas romantic comedy.
In July.
Oh, yeah, set at Christmas in July. The town loves Christmas so much.
They do it twice.
They do it twice.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's my check-ems. So...
I guess I could go because I've been gone.
Yeah, go.
You've been gone.
In coma land.
Since you've been gone.
Yes, yes. while you were sleeping. talk about romantic comedies. Let's see here. I watched another Netflix anime that had animal people that wasn't Beastars.
Did you watch BNA?
Yeah.
Oh, we watched a lot of BNA. Not all of it, but we watched most of it.
Yeah, so Brand New Animal is the title of it, or BNA. Mm-hmm. We were just like flipping through it, and I was like, oh, it's a Tanuki girl, a Japanese raccoon dog. And Nicole was like, well, we got to watch it now.
She's adorable. All the designs in it are so good. People either look like super cool or adorable. Like, there's no in between.
Yeah. And so in this universe or whatever, you have humans and then you have beast men. And beast men have the ability to change between their animal shape, which is more like just kind of an anthropomorphic animal person, or a sort of a human face. Or just a human face. Look like anime people. It's not as cringy as Beastars, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, no. Well, like the designs are more appealing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really colorful show, and I actually enjoyed it a lot more.
It's by Studio Trigger, the people who did Little Witch Academia.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, yeah, it's got that kind of look to it.
I don't know many animes, but Studio Trigger is the name of thing that I recognize. I see that name and I clap.
They do the good anime.
Yeah.
They have a very particular house style that I love.
Like, their colors are real soft and not like...
Exactly what I was going to say. Their colors are really good.
Yeah, but basically you have the city... This beast city or whatever they called it. Animus city. Yeah. Basically, all the beast people are moving here to the city where they can be free and govern themselves instead of worrying about people. Like, there's all... It kind of does, like, the old Star Wars thing where, like, you kind of have this greater world history universe going on, but they don't really, like, go... Like, they go into it a little bit, but not, like, a lot.
Oh, okay.
Like, there was, like, a war, like, some odd years ago kind of thing, and it gets brought up once in a while, but you never really know anything about it. Like, a modern war.
They say Clone Wars, but they don't show Clone Wars. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Gotcha.
They'll do stuff like that, but then they'll also have an episode where they play baseball.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yep. There's a whole episode dedicated to baseball.
It's very good.
And, like...
Murder baseball.
It's murder baseball. It's not, like, regular baseball. Mm. Because they're animal people. And it's killings allowed. But the main girl, she has what they kind of coin in the show, beastitis. She was human, but somehow got transferred into a beast person.
Oh, okay.
Which they do get into by the end of the show why she can do that.
Don't spoil it. I haven't finished it.
I'm not. But also, she's not like a normal beast person. Like, she has like all kinds of powers that regular beast people do not have. Like, she basically goes like Brave Star and can choose different animal powers to give herself.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of neat.
She can Kamala Khan stretch her arms.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. That's
yep. Like she can, like, when she gets into a fight, she grows these giant like gorilla arms and like goes punchy punchy.
Or when she pitches a baseball.
Or yeah, when she pitches the baseball. Or when she's running bases, she has cheetah legs. All kinds of stuff.
Huh. So she's like a chimera or something like that?
Maybe. But I think it's more like kind of like the Japanese mythology of the Tanuki being kind of a...
Yeah, a shapeshifter.
A shapeshifting trickster kind of thing.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Right on.
But yeah, it's actually not bad. It was a pretty good show. I called some of the stuff pretty early on as far as like the different quote-unquote plot twists. Yeah. They weren't really plot twists.
Trigger never writes like a shocking story.
But I enjoyed it. It was fun. We started watching... the first Full Metal Alchemist series.
I'm sorry.
Which I've seen.
Speaking of people turning into animals.
That's actually how it all started. Nicole sent me a meme with Nina Tucker in it. And she's like, I don't understand why people like angry react with this thing all the time. And I'm like, do you really want me to tell you, or do you want to watch the anime?
Let me learn you something.
Oh, no, I know what that is. I don't know
time
much
to
about
cry.
This.
And then, like, we get to that episode, and she just looks at me, and I'm like, yep.
That happened.
Yep.
That was a thing.
Man, that's one of those animes where I think I've seen nearly all the episodes, but not in order. because of Adult Swim. Like,
oh,
I would just catch it when it was on and watch it. I liked it, but I never saw them in the right order.
Yeah, and we're like watching it and stuff, and we got to like Major Armstrong showing up and whatnot, and she goes, he sounds like All Might, and I was like, pretty sure it's the same actor. And then I looked it up, I'm like, yeah, it is the same guy. You'd think I'd know it by now. You'd think I'd know, you know, Chris Sabat's voice that well.
As an professional anime expert, you'd think you'd know by now.
Well, you'd think if I was an anime expert, I wouldn't watch most of my stuff in dub.
Fair. Fair.
I'm a traitor to my profession. Because I don't want to read it, because normally I'm munching on chips.
Exactly.
That makes
gotta
sense.
Multitask.
Yeah.
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 I did watch a subbed Lupin the other day that was very good.
Oh, nice.
It was one of the Miyazaki directed ones, and it was so good.
Oh, man. I want to watch that new movie.
The CG Lupin movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks really good.
Like, you think, you know, oh, CG anime, that looks like, it looks like garbage, but it really doesn't. It, like, it still holds, like, the spirit of Lupin.
Yeah.
Just in a computer animated form.
I think it helps that Lupin doesn't really have a super anime look to begin with.
It looks more like a cartoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got that, like, very, like, 70s cartoon aesthetic.
It has a similar aesthetic to Speed Racer, I always thought.
It's based on Mad Magazine drawings.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. Where Monkey Punch got the style.
Know what? That makes a lot of sense. I can definitely see it.
Plus, Lupin's just fun. Like, yeah, he's a thief and kind of a scoundrel.
But he's a good guy scoundrel. He's a Robin Hood kind of scoundrel.
Mm-hmm. Except he's not.
Kind of.
I must say, he keeps a lot of the money.
It depends on who's writing him, how nasty he is.
Yeah, in the most recent series I've watched, he's definitely got more kind of a heart of gold kind of thing, where like, yeah, he's trying to steal stuff, but then he keeps running into these people that are in real bad situations, and he kind of Lupins his way out of it or whatever. Versus like, you know, if you watch the Red Jacket Lupins, where he's kind of a nasty boy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all the time trying to get his freak on, mostly with Fujiko. And
Lupin's probably one of my favorite animes.
I really enjoy it.
I definitely put it up there.
Oh, yeah. Though I've actually never sat down and watched The Castle of Cagliostro.
Oh, it's really good.
Like, I want to. I love Lupin, and I love Studio Ghibli, and it's both.
It's both at the same time.
Ooh, that was something else I watched. I watched the Ni No Kuni movie.
Oh, was that good?
Yeah, I liked it. But also, I've never played the game.
I've played the beginnings of both.
I don't think it follows the story of either game. Like, it's just kind of set in that world.
Yeah, I was worried that it followed the story of the first game, which is a really sad beginning. And that's what kept me from watching it. It's like, I don't want to watch the sad beginning.
No, but I think there's a character in it, in the movie, that is actually the kid from the first game, just older. As far as I know, it might be the story of the second game. I really don't know.
The second game story is weird, and it involves an American president being transported into a fantasy world, into Dragon Quest.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Then it's not that at all.
Okay.
It's its own thing, just set in that world.
And, like, an American president from when, like, they were, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a good movie. You're kind of your standard, like, fantasy kind of anime thing. But also, like, dimension hopping, like your Inuyashas. I liked it. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was good.
They're doing a new one of those, Inuyasha.
Yeah, I know. There's a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like
Yashahime. It's the daughter of Inuyasha and Kagome.
Well, it's the daughter of Inuyasha and Kagome and Shishomaru's two twin daughters, Inuyasha's brother.
Oh, I'm sorry. I completely blocked out as soon as you guys said
Inuyasha.
Inuyasha. It's
another one where
I think I lost time.
I've seen a lot of episodes, none of them in order.
Do you guys smell copper?
So let me talk about Last of Us Part 2 real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I have played all the way through it now, and I have things to say.
Okay.
That gameplay-wise, it's great. It's a really good mix of stealth and action.
Mm-hmm.
Story-wise, it leaves a lot to be desired, and not in the way that, like, it's tough to be critical of this game because there's
so much.
There's so much baggage to it.
Yes.
There's people who don't like it because
Ellie's the main character.
Ellie's the main character, and she's also gay, and there's a character switch halfway through, and the woman has muscles, God forbid.
Yeah, we're not worrying about that.
Yeah.
But I've heard there are also some issues with the story anyway.
Yeah, I've kind of heard it's kind of a letdown.
It is. Storyline-wise, it majorly is. A lot of the characters make decisions that don't make any sense.
Ah.
There's a point where you think it's going to be over, and it would be a satisfying conclusion, And then it goes on for another 2 hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's winding down. What? Why are we doing this?
And you can cut that entire, the extra
like,
2 hours.
I don't want to be doing this. Yeah. Why are you making
actively
me do this?
Actively make the game worse.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
They could have cut it all out and the game would have been better for it.
Is that what they crunched?
I don't know.
See, that's the biggest problem for me with this game, other than I never played the first one. I don't have an attachment to the characters. But there was so much that came out around the development of this game. And I understand it sucks, but all game companies, they do crunch. They work their people to death to put games out relatively on time. But Last of Us 2 had some of the worst crunch in a very long time, from what I understand.
Yeah, and according to reports.
And I have a hard time, even if I had considered purchasing the game beforehand, which I really wasn't, I would have a hard time kind of supporting that.
So why I rented it on Gamefly.
There you go. Very nice.
I did not have to buy it.
Very nice.
I finished it, I sent it right back. And, like, the game is so dour and depressing, I can't imagine having to crunch on this sad, joyless...
So it's a Zack Snyder-produced game?
It's not... No, it's not that dumb.
Well, Cody, I hate to cut you off here, but we need to go ahead and take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about some news, we're going to have some more laughs, and possibly a murder?
Hey, we're back. That was It's Bugsnacks by Caro Caro Benito from the game Bugsnacks, which we'll probably talk about here in a minute. We're podcasting in the dark.
Yeah.
Welcome to Nerd Overload Nights.
Yeah, studio's having a few lighting issues currently, but that's all right. We're going to press on. It's all good.
And we're going to record under the glowing light of your Street Fighter 2 cabinet.
We are, yes, yes. So yeah, so let's get into a little bit of news here.
Wow.
That's, you have a big news story to go into after that one?
Yeah, we need a big one. We played the song for Bugsnacks. Let's do a Bugsnacks.
Okay, we'll go over that. There was a PlayStation State of Play on August 6th, which also happens to be the day we're recording this. They announced a bunch of different stuff. Do we have a list?
We do have a list. Give me a second to pull up the list. Okay, we have Godfall.
It's that Gearbox Swordman's game. And
that one, yes.
I skipped through the bit. It was a bunch of like in-depth combat system explanation.
I was going to say, that's the one that looks like a fighting game, but it's a third-person open world kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just skipped right past it. I wasn't watching the thing live, so I'm like, I don't want to see this.
Okay, the next one we have on the list is Temtem, which we've talked about. You played
Temtem.
A little bit of Temtem.
It was a long time ago, and I hope it's better than it was then. It felt pretty skimpy when I played it last, but I think it's gotten a big update since then.
Yeah.
It's Pokemon.
It's interesting looking.
Yeah, and it's got 2-on-2 battles, you know, as the default, which is a little different than Pokemon, but my overall feeling on it was it didn't do enough to differentiate itself from Pokemon.
Yeah, but this is the announcement is it's coming to PS5 along with, I think it's Xbox and Switch. I think Switch is getting a copy of Temtem, which is going to be weird. It's going to have Pokemon and also not Pokemon.
Yeah, but you know, there's room for multiple monster collectums.
Sure, it maybe will make Pokemon better.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Give them some competition. Yeah.
Or maybe we'll get a good Digimon game.
Oh, that would be
nice.
No,
that'll never happen.
Well,
that's not true. I heard Cyber Sleuth is good.
But I've heard good things about Cyber Sleuth as well. Yeah. Next up, we have Hood, Outlaws, and Legends.
This one also, if you would have told me it was an Assassin's Creed game, I would have went, oh, because it looked like an Assassin's Creed game.
But it's like based on Robin Hood,
kind of like, yeah. It was still a lot of people with swords, swinging swords at each other. It seems like they're going all in on Sword Boys for PlayStation 5. I don't know what that's about.
They're edgy.
Yeah.
I don't have a womp, 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 womp sound effect. I should. Oh, I should.
I thought you were going to do the rim shot.
Oh.
There we go.
There it is. Next up, the pedestrian.
The pedestrian. This is a good one.
Okay.
It's a platformer where you are like a person on a sign, like a symbol of a person.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And you run around on signs in the background. Fun fact, I played this game a long time ago when it was in development at Kosai.
Really?
Yeah, they did a Kosai like game dev day, and I played it then.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was awful at it, and I could feel the designer.
Oh, no, I watched the designer standing behind him trying not to like be mean or tell him what to do. He was like, I could see him like putting his hands to his mouth like,
I could feel his like dagger eyes on the back of my hand. But it's really cool to see them like get spotlighted on the big time Sony thing.
Yeah, right? Before, that's really
cool. Good for them. Yeah.
Right on.
If I remember right, they seem nice.
Yeah, they seem like
everyone there seemed nice.
Yeah.
Just Cody's bad at games. Got it.
Yeah. This one in particular. Well, I hadn't wrapped my mind around the
concept, idea of it.
Because you have to link the signs together to move between different portions.
Okay. Yeah. Next up is auto chess.
Oh my god, this one was so boring. I thought I died and I was in purgatory.
I've heard the concept auto chess. I didn't know it's an actual game.
Oh yeah, it was one of those things that it looks like League of Legends where you're looking at it being played and you're just like,
your eyes glaze over.
It's just like, what am I even looking at?
Huh.
There's a chessboard and a bunch of like dumb fantasy monsters and like, oh, look terrible.
Oh, that sounds bad.
Like, there's a mobile auto chess game and I flip through it and I'm like, nope, I'm done.
Okay, how about Vader Immortal, a Star Wars VR experience? Oh,
I was so psyched. I can't talk. I was so psyched on this.
Psyched.
I was so psyched on this.
You're so Michael Stiped about this that...
No, that'd be if I was, like, sad.
Oh, well, yeah.
It just looks like a dumb Star Wars VR game where you swing a lightsaber around. But darn it, if that's not enough to make me excited.
Okay, next up on the list, Bugsnax.
We finally saw what you do in Bugsnax. Bugsnax was teased earlier at the other, like, kind of PlayStation E3 style
event.
Yeah. And they didn't really show what the game was. This time they show you like setting traps and luring the Bugsnax into the traps and catching them and giving them to villagers.
Okay, what are Bugsnax?
Bugsnax are bugs that are also snacks. So like there was one that was a carrot but also a worm, and then one that was a burger but also like a beetle. Was that what it was?
I don't know.
They were luring it around by squirting ketchup on the ground and it would follow the ketchup.
Wait. So okay, they're bugs that look like food?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's like little strawberry ones with little strawberry legs walking around.
And then you eat the snacks and your body parts turn into the snacks.
Yeah, or you feed the snacks to the other like Muppety looking guys and they grow, you know, a carrot arm.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminds me of like a Viva Pinata.
I was just going to say Viva Pinata.
Where you're like kind of tending to this environment to attract the snacks and attract people to the village. And that's what I got out of it.
I wonder if there is a robust breeding or some sort of like that aspect to it, where if you have a bug snack that is a strawberry and a bug snack that is like some milk,
a banana,
and you make a banana split bug snack if you have them eat each other and
grow
each other's appendages or whatever.
They also, like, you play as a journalist that's going to this island to discover the bug snacks and write about them, I guess.
Interesting.
Is the conceit.
That's an interesting interesting way of looking at it.
Bug snack Charles Darwin.
I hope there's more than one song by Caro Caro Benito in it, because the one song they did is super catchy and great. It's the one we played, you know, minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Next up is... Anno colon Multa. I don't even know.
Oh, this was like a cyberpunk platformer, pixely anime looking thing. I don't know. It looked neat.
Okay, how do you say the words?
I don't know.
Okay, and mutonium.
Yeah, they didn't say it on the thing
either.
It's
like mutant pandemonium. That's what I'm going to call
or
it.
Or mutant ammunition?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It was like 2.5D.
Oh, that's
cool. With 3D cyberpunk city and a 2D sprite running around on it. It was kind of neat looking.
Nice.
I'd play it.
We have Aeon Must Die. Is that an Aeon Flux thing?
No, aww. But this one looked like Tron for Edgelords.
Oh, okay. Wow. So Aeon Flux?
Yeah. Like, it had, like, Tron-y visuals, but they were also, like, super edgelordy and, like, oh, I've got a scary face in my chest and, like, but also I'm made out of triangles.
Oh, okay.
And I was not impressed.
How about Genshin Impact? That also sounds like an edgelordy thing.
This one was Chinese Breath of the Wild.
Oh!
Like, literally, like, China just ripped off Breath of the Wild and put anime characters in it.
Ah.
Like, if you watch the trailer, like, the environments look like they're just pulled straight out of that game. And, like, some of the monsters just look like bokoblins.
Oh, really?
Like, it's pretty bad. I mean, it looks kind of neat. And, like,
I mean, Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild was good. So, you know, I'd try it.
We're probably going to skip over the Braid Anniversary Edition. Is there anything special about that?
No, I didn't even think it looked all that much better.
Yeah. Hitman 3 gets VR support. Again, I mean, Gunman.
The Hitman games are actually pretty good. I actually went back and tried them out because they were on Game Pass and I wasn't out anything if I did. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised at how much I liked them. I didn't think it would be a thing I'd enjoy, but there's a lot of thought that goes into it and in your stealthing and your Hitmaning.
Oh, nice.
I don't know how I feel about, like, garroting someone in VR. That doesn't sound appealing.
Awesome. Traditionally, they're a third-person game, so it feels like it'd be weird as a VR first-person.
And last thing we have here, what can you tell me about the Crash Bandicoot 4?
Yeah, you can play as Dingo Dial.
I don't know who that is.
Do the air horn.
Oh, yes,
you can play as Dingo Dial.
What is that?
That's one of the bosses from the original game.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why they thought that's something anybody wanted or cared about, but you can do it. He's a main character.
Oh, boy.
He's like a crocodile man with a flamethrower.
So, so they're just trying to build their own Sonic-esque universe, or just get all these ancillary other characters you can be?
I mean, I guess. That's kind of like what it is. And you also get to play as Cortex, too.
Oh, nice.
I mean, cool.
But he's been playable before, hasn't he?
Kind of.
Okay.
If you want to count, like, Twin Sanity, where you're, like, controlling them both at the same time.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, yeah.
But he uses his gun to, like, change the properties of objects to, like, turn a platform into a bouncy platform or whatever. It's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
It looks so good.
Spinning around, breaking crates in town. I don't know.
Doing great. I know, right? Expert Josh, doing great. Good job. 10 out of 10. That bad pun gets my seal of approval.
We had to play it at least once.
Once. Got to get it in there once. Thanks, Jerry. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to some other stuff. You know what? Let's go ahead and wrap up the video game talk. Capcom actually had a mini pre-recorded video for their Street Fighter V game. Street Fighter V has been kind of a rocky development cycle.
It's been a real roller coaster.
It's been a real roller coaster. Well, some of the characters are very good and well thought out, and some of them are not. Some of the character packs have not been great, and their netcode is terrible. So netcode, we've talked about it before, that's the way people connect to other people for online matches, and so their netcode is bad. Not a lot of people are playing Street Fighter V. Unfortunately, they didn't talk about their netcode in this little 8-minute video that they released the other day. Instead, they spoke at length about the final season pass, the final pack of characters for Street Fighter V, before they move on to whatever they're going to be developing next. And they might have me back in. I have this game. I'm incredibly rusty at it. I have not kept up with it because the online is so terrible and the story mode was just bad. But
when they eventually added it.
Yeah. They eventually added it. And also arcade mode was pretty rough when they eventually added it.
I didn't know that Armika was banned from appearing on ESPN.
Yes. Yes, she is.
I learned that the other day. She's a little too much for TV.
Too hot for TV. Yeah, that's a thing. Also, they had to edit her attack. They had to drop the camera because she does a butt smack.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
With her tag partner, Nadeshko, and they had to crop it. And then modders went in and remodded it back to where it was before. And it's not bad. It's whatever. Anyway, they announced 4 of the 5 final characters for Street Fighter V, and my boy Dan, the world's worst Shoto character, he's like Ryu and Ken, or Ryu and Ken, but terrible, purposely bad as a joke, is the first one up. He's coming in winter of 2020.
They trained him wrong as a joke.
He actually has a really deep backstory. His whole deal was Sagat killed his father, who was a kung fu master. So he went to Ken and Ryu's dojo, master's dojo, to learn how to fight. Got kicked out after one day when Gouken, their master, discovered, oh, he wants to murder someone with this. So he was like, okay, I'm going to hide in the bushes and stare at Ken and Ryu training. And then I'm going to put my own spin on it, and I'm going to call it the strongest style. I am the king of Psycho style, the strongest style. And all of his attacks are incredibly weak. Like, his fireball doesn't go past his fist. Like, he can't throw a fireball. Which, I mean, he's still pretty strong. He is a human that can throw a fireball. Yeah. But they showed off just a bare, tiny... It's clear they didn't have a whole lot in the way of, like, showing completed characters, but they had a couple of moves that they showed with the character, and at the end of every throw, every punch, every hit, every time he got knocked down, he would taunt. He would, like, they got the good animators on him this time, and like his throws, he's like trying to hoist someone over his shoulder and like grabs him and then falls back and then tosses him because he like can't get it quite right, and it's super good. It's like, they know why people play Dan, and it's because he is a joke and he's awful. Although, technically, Street Fighter 4, he is a viable character. They upped his strength while dropping his range, so if you let Dan get close, he hits harder than Ken and Ryu, but he's just very bad at getting in close. Other characters they announced are Rose, who was a character created originally in the Alpha series, which is like the prequel to Street Fighter 1 and 2, or a rewrite of Street Fighter 1, technically, kinda.
Street Fighter is complicated.
Fighter is complicated. They're on Street Fighter 5, and there's been 23 games. It's very complicated. But Rose is in it, which is kind of a letdown. She had there's another character in Street Fighter 5 named Manat, who was canonically Rose's student, has a lot of the same moves. So they're going to have to do something different with this character. They have Oro from Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, who's one-armed. He is not one-armed, but he is like an old hermit that purposely binds one arm when he fights because he is so good. He's like, I got to make this fair. And instead of having like a special move, like a big cinematic special move or whatever, he just unbinds his other arm and all of his attacks do double damage.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, it's actually a kind of a neat concept. And the last one, the one I'm really excited about, and you're going to have to do a Power Rangers air horn on me because I'm going to start talking about it and I'm not going to stop. Their Street Fighter is not just Street Fighter. There are a bunch of different games that they have grandfathered into the Street Fighter universe. The big one is Final Fight with Cody and Guy and Mike Hagar.
He doesn't show up enough.
He doesn't. I wish Hagar showed up more. And so that's in the universe. There's also Saturday Night Slam Masters, which I wish they would do more with, like, Gunlock and some of the other characters.
That's a wrestle game.
That's a wrestle game.
Yeah.
That Mike Hagar was a wrestler in. So technically part of it. One of the other series that is part of the Street Fighter universe is Rival Schools, or Project Justice, as it's known in Japan. It's another fighting game. It's set in a high school setting where all the students are also various martial arts masters. And you get like a guy with like a giant baseball bat because he's on the sports team. Or you have the class president and his bugsome boxing girlfriend. Everybody knows Tiffany. If you've ever seen anything about the game Rival Schools, you have seen a picture of the character Tiffany. She did not make it in. However, a fan favorite, not the main character of the games, but a fan favorite named Akira, she made it into the games. She is like a street tough biker chick who has moves similar to Kamen Rider, the Japanese TV show. A lot of kicks, a lot of throws, a lot of very flashy things. She wears a motorcycle helmet and like a leather jacket suit with like a skull on it. It's very cool. And this is the first time Capcom has acknowledged Rival Schools franchise in like 20 years. So this is kind of a big deal. And the fifth character has not been announced. And that's probably because it's going to tie into whatever the next Capcom fighting game is going to be.
What was that that beat 'em up game that Mike Hagar was in?
Final Fight.
Is that Final Fight?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of the other fighting game from SNK.
King of Fighters?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm thinking of King of Fighters. I thought they were connected somehow.
Oh, Cody, did you pull up a picture of
Akira?
Yeah. She's kind of badass, right?
Yeah.
Kind of awesome. Anyway, I'm excited for this. I'm interested in trying out the game. I don't know. I might be back in. Who knows?
I mean, Dan's in there, and you always love Dan.
Dan is a good character. What they really need to do is put in a second story mode to kind of fill in, because they've had enough DLC characters that weren't part of the initial story mode that they kind of need something for those characters to do. And
especially since their netcode's so bad.
And they need to fix netcode. That's the other issue. And I have a feeling a lot of Japanese developers are scrambling to fix their netcodes for their games because of the troubles, because no one is able to go out to physical tournaments and do things. This Capcom thing was part of a larger Japanese fighting game company kind of press junket last weekend. And
Punch Fest 2020.
I wish it was called Punch Fest. That would be pretty great.
It'd be very on brand for Japan.
It would be pretty great. Punch Fest 2020. I like it. But like Arxis has said that they're reworking Guilty Gear Strive, their new one, to have rollback netcode. Tekken is actively working on correcting a lot of their netcode problems.
Tekken is actively working on getting anybody to care about Tekken.
Hey, this new Tekken's actually really, really good. It is surprisingly decent.
I like to rag on Tekken. I don't know why.
Yeah. I'm that way with, what's the other? It wasn't Tekken, but it was the other one.
Soul Calibur?
Virtual Fighter.
Oh, nobody cares about Virtual Fighter.
I rag on Virtual Fighter quite a bit. Yeah.
I like its look. I like the polygonal look the original had.
Yes. Yeah, same here. But, okay, that's it. That's been Sam's Fight Corner.
Oh, I like it. Sam's Fight Corner.
Bing, bing.
I need to add that to the... Yeah, I'll add that next.
Just pull the one from Punch Out.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, if we want to keep sort of talking about video games, there is one pseudo video game thing, kind of.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. What is it?
So, on a very dead Facebook and Twitter account for the old TV show Attack of the Show...
Oh, God.
That was a thing.
Yeah, it was like a video game TV show back when people cared about cable television networks.
Went off the air in 2014, as it turns out.
Yep.
Years ago.
So they're teasing that...
Actually feels longer than that.
It really does.
It does.
So they're talking about bringing G4 back.
I'm filled with two conflicting feelings this news.
There are two wolves inside you.
There are two wolves inside me. One is going, hey, I remember Attack of the Show and X-Play. Those were good times. I remember watching Ninja Warrior, not American Ninja Warrior, but the good one from Japan.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was on there.
That's the good one.
Yeah.
I want that back. And the other wolf inside me is going, why we have Twitch?
Yeah.
Why does this need to exist now?
There's a whole YouTube of video gaming content at your fingertips.
Yeah.
Like, you can watch somebody talk, do a 40-minute documentary about the Power Glove whenever you want.
Yeah, G4 is a relic of a bygone era where this stuff wasn't readily available.
Like, where the internet wasn't what it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was always pretty cringy.
In hindsight, yes. X-Play was pretty good. I like Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb.
I did too.
They did a good job. And for as cringy as it was, there is a certain amount of charm to Attack of the Show.
Yeah.
I like Adam Pereira. Adam Pereira? No.
Kevin Pereira.
Yes, Kevin Pereira and Olivia Munn. I like them as hosts, and I think they had a really interesting, weird...
chemistry?
Pseudo-antagonistic chemistry on screen. Like a sibling, almost like a sibling's antagonistic chemistry on screen that was really fun to watch. But a lot of the stuff they did was a little... not great.
Not great.
Yeah, like the whole channel was basically like,
hey guys, check out video games and ladies.
It was Spike. It was Spike TV with a video game focus sometimes.
Yeah. What they wanted was a first... I watched a little mini documentary on G4 when I heard the news of this. What the guy originally wanted was to emulate the first couple of years of MTV with the VJs, the video DJs. Oh. But what it turned into was Spike TV for gamer bros.
I mean, they literally had a show where they would just play trailers, the games.
Yeah, yeah.
When it first came out, the show quickly went under.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing, G4 was always kind of in financial trouble from the moment it started. Yeah. And a lot of people, I guess, at one point were very upset because it absorbed Tech TV.
And Tech TV was very good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, what was it? The Screensavers is what turned into Attack of the Show.
Yeah.
And X-Play was...
They had a show that was just called Call for Help.
Yeah.
And they would fix your computer problems, like, live on the show.
And that's awesome. That's cool. But yeah, G4 absorbed it and it eventually became, hey, bros...
Yeah,
how about you do this cool headshot in the Call of Duty and then watch Olivia Munn eat a bunch of hot dogs while wearing a Sailor Moon costume?
Yeah. I mean, yes, that was definitely the latter years of G4.
And I'm not making a joke. That actually happened.
Yeah, that was a thing. More power for her getting out of that. So
she wants back in. She's on Twitter.
Yeah.
She and Pereira. I have a feeling she and Pereira and I think Adam Sessler is behind part of it because he left his own company in March. So I kind of have a feeling he may have.
He didn't leave on the best terms, though.
Oh, really?
Originally, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't look that far.
I think he found out he was fired, like, at the end, toward the end of a taping of an episode.
Oh, you're talking about G4 or X-Play. Yes. No, he found out he was fired while taping. I'm talking about his own personal company that he started.
Yeah, like his current thing.
His current thing.
That's what I meant when I said they didn't leave on the best terms. I meant him and G4, not his company.
I don't think this G4 is being run by the same people that ran it before. I think it's someone else.
I think the people that ran it before had nothing but disdain for the entire concept.
Well, they're the ones that turned it into Esquire TV.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, boy.
And then that just...
fizzled.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a channel anymore.
I don't think it is either.
Is Spike even a channel anymore?
You know, I don't think so.
Here's the thing. In the current landscape of things, people really don't care about cable TV at all.
No.
Most people I talk to anymore don't even have cable anymore. It's like having a landline phone. How many people do you run into that anymore?
Not Spike Spiegel. I'm trying to Google, is Spike dead?
I mean, yes.
From Buffy?
It's now the Paramount Network.
Oh, well, yeah.
Spike's technically always been dead. He's a vampire.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. I think if it were me and I were told you have to bring G4 back in some form, you can't say no. Do it now.
You can't say no.
You must bring G4 back in some form. One, I would say why. And two, I would go, why not make it a Twitch channel that plays reruns of old things?
Cops.
Well, reruns of Cops. Yeah, that was like 90% of the channel, wasn't it?
No, Cops got canceled.
That's true. But like as a Twitch channel that would play trailers, it would do stuff, and at certain times of the day, run a Twitch channel kind of like a television station. It can be done. Or put it on Pluto TV.
Yeah.
That would be the other way of doing it.
Or going the other way around and just making a YouTube thing.
Yeah, you could make it a YouTube thing, but then you have to get into like YouTube.
You'd have to get in bed with YouTube.
Well, then you're competing against all these like genuine people that are passionately making video game related content.
That's true. I was going to say, hey, are they bringing it back for Quibi? But Quibi's not going to be back by the time G4 comes back.
No. Quibi.
All right, hey, with that, I think we have hit time for the week, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline and leave us a voicemail that we just might play on the show. The number is 586-372-8020. Let us know what your favorite anime that came out before 1998 is.
You can also find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Don't forget to subscribe to my OnlyFans for...
No.
Pizza out!